Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
It is 3 p.m. on Thursday, and that means it's time to meet your maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. This is the show where you get to do exactly that. My guest today is patched in. His name is Brady Lowe. He is the founder of Cochon 555, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's five pigs made by five chefs paired with offerings from five different wineries. Brady, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So I was, for those who have, I feel like five pigs by five chefs like completely oversimplifies what's actually going on with your event. So I was wondering for those who've never heard of one, if you would explain a little bit just how amazing, exactly what you're asking chefs to do and how incredible it is.
Totally. Basically, we ask the chef to produce about six dishes from each animal, and they have a whole week, 7 to 10 days, to cook the pig. They show up on a Sunday afternoon. They prepare it for about 400 guests. So basically, we go through the legs of working with the chefs and the farms, trying to make the connection and get one whole animal dropped off to the restaurant so them and their team can break it down. And then they show up on a Sunday and serve it out to 20 judges and about 400 guests. There's tons of wine flowing. We've got a bourbon bar, we've got a mezcal tasting, we do a huge cheese bar, oysters, caviar, chicharrones, we pass bacon around and like flower pots. It's a fun affair.
So I've had the pleasure of judging Cochon 555, and I've judged a lot of things in my 10 years as a professional food writer, and this was definitely the most intense. So do the judges say we sometimes, as a judge, you sometimes get a little extra in addition to the six dishes that all that the general public, like you get the ear or the tail, the things that other people might not be able to taste.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta think that there's only certain amount of snouts and ears and toes on a pig.
Right.
So sometimes we save those little, those little nibbly, tasty ends for the judge.
And well, each different chef has a different animal, a different heritage breed, correct?
Correct.
And so, do they know anything? Do you tell them? They get a whole pamphlet, like a CIA backstory of the pig they're about to get and what and that kind of thing, like where it came from.
Yeah, we let them know about the species, about the farm, where they're eating, what their diet is. Basically, we do all the homework for them, so they've got a new relationship sitting right in front of them.
With the farmer.
It's like playing matchmaker.
So that's what the event itself is, and now I think you do 14 different versions. Maybe not all are straight Cochon 555. Now all in cities all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the one in Memphis is something special.
It's a big barbecue event.
Right. That's new as of last year.
Yeah, I mean, basically the tour is taking on this like kind of a approach of like seeing all types of preparations and techniques around food, chef, and pig. 90% of all my year is spent on pig alone. We also have like an event in Napa called Heritage Fire that does like all Argentinian style cooking, all animals. We do Heritage Barbecue, which is a kind of a twist of basically wanting to reshape the barbecue format.
Uh-huh.
We also have All-Star Cochon, which is kind of like a event all about kind of like the fans' favorites, the best bites of a couple of years. And then that takes place in Las Vegas. We also do, this new one called Cochon Island in Hawaii.
Wow.
Which I'm really excited about. And that, of course, will be like an island-style event where it actually will fit five pigs. So I'm really excited about seeing how that one plays out.
Do your pigs come from the city? Do you try and source the farmers close to where each city is, or do you have? Are you shipping a pig from Iowa to Hawaii? I don't even know if they have.
No, actually, we're really lucky because Hawaii has more pigs than people.
Oh man, are they wild?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's funny. Like, there's a lot of people that get pigs from Eden Farms in Hawaii. You know, it's just about having really optimum products. So people will do their sourcing for the event. Really focus on what's in the neighborhood. You know.
You had mentioned the heritage, changing up the traditional format of the barbecue with the heritage barbecue. Tell me exactly what you mean by that.
Oh, what we're doing with heritage barbecue?
Right, like what's that event about?
Well, I mean, speaking candidly, I love barbecue so much. It is one of my favorite foods. But at times I just don't feel really self-satisfied at the end because I've been around heritage pigs for so long. And I just think that everyone who does barbecue should be using heritage pigs. So, you know, you can't really go and change the system in one day. So I just wanted to create an event that showcases barbecue competition with only heritage breed pigs. And the goal with the event is to talk about how do you get one pig on every plate. So it's whole animal barbecue. But taking, you know, if you think of whole hog barbecue, all you're thinking is about a big pulled pig, similar to like cod.
Right.
We're actually like giving them categories. We say there's four meats and two sides. You've got a mayo side, a mustard side, which is pretty traditional. And then you have four meats, which is a bone, a stew, a pull, and a muscle.
Each participant has to do all of those things?
Yeah, they do six dishes. Uh-huh. And they're based on those four plus two plates.
So are the people competing in that competition traditional, like Casey Slow and Low barbecuers, or are they chefs too?
These are chefs who want to break into barbecue, right. But we need to give them a new horizon and a new diner because you can't compete with barbecue at, you know, $4 a cold pork sandwich.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're a fine dining chef. Uh-huh. You know, like, you gotta raise the bar. We're like pushing up like $10, $12, $13 plates. So especially if you're going to support heritage pigs.
That's pretty. So, and are they chefs from all over the country who participate in that one?
Yeah. Basically, the way that it works is it's kind of like a grand cochon.
A grand cochon. We also have one of those too, right?
Really?
You have a grand. Isn't there a grand cochon event as well, or is that the hair?
Yeah,
is that it?
No, there's grand cochon in Aspen.
Oh, yes, that would be the place. Is it?
That's where all the winners of Cochon 5 go.
Is it during the food and wine festival?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Is. We've done it there for 2 years.
Oh, my, that's pretty amazing.
No,
that's
3 years.
To go
sorry.
Back.
Yeah, we've been there 3 years in a row.
So if you add up all the whole pigs that you've dealt with at the end of maybe this year, do you know how many you're going to source?
Yeah, I mean, in total, we've worked with about 200 farms across the country, and I mean, gosh, I think in each tour, we work with about 120 pigs.
Wow.
So
that is a lot of pigs.
Yeah.
Plus, there's always a couple of extra, right?
Oh, yeah, there's always a lot of extras. I mean, like, we're doing a pig roast tonight with three pigs.
Right. And then, like, you know, even at your events, you'll often have a butcher breaking one down so people can see how it works and that kind of thing, too. I think I've seen Tom do it here in New York.
Yeah, it's all about like having the great lineup for like the lineup in New York City. Will be the five chefs.
It's all ladies this year, right?
And then there will be Sarah Bigelow from the Meat Hook doing a butcher demo, and then all that meat will be raffled off, and then we'll also have Sue Torres from Sueños. Doing the heritage barbecue menu. So she'll be doing the four meats side. But she's actually bringing up Dr. Ray Lampe, the barbecue guy, to do it with her.
That was good. That was actually my next question. I was curious if you'd actually like brought any traditional barbecuers into the fold and they're now using heritage pigs.
Sorry, you broke up.
I was asking if you, my next question was whether you'd actually taken, if you'd convinced any traditional barbecuers who like compete in the circuit to use heritage pigs, even just for, not necessarily for the competition, but in the course of what they do every year.
But, no, I think I've changed some, opinions, you know, I can't say that I have or a goal, because I know it's a really lofty goal.
Yes.
I just want to open, I just want somebody to open a restaurant on that model, you know, and I think that it's heading that direction. And I don't think somebody's going to open a restaurant on the 4+2 menu setup, but it definitely could give people the tools that they need to navigate about opening a fine dining barbecue restaurant, or at least an upper casual.
So do you think what's preventing it from happening now, like a straight up heritage, well, you know, sustainably sourced, you know, barbecue joint, is people's perception of what they pay? Is it still the money?
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to change, but with the two sides and the different dishes.
Is that, well, I'm not, yeah, I mean, it's hard because barbecue is, it's typically used as an inexpensive cut,
right,
you know, and it's not expensive. In the course of the years, pork has gone so down in price that barbecue becomes a commodity meal, and people use all the spices, you know, sauces to dance it up, and it becomes great. But still, at the core, the content of the product needs a facelift, and we've trained the consumer over years to pay commodity pork prices for barbecue. We just have to get the consumer support, and that's what I'm at.
Right. That's really fascinating. And in fact, we're going to take a 1-minute break, and when we come back, since this show is Meet Your Maker, I always want to hear how you came to do this. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how this became your life.
Cool.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Every Tuesday at 12 p.m., you can call food scientist Dave Arnold and ask any question you want.
John from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Cooking
issues. Who am I fooling? This is horrible stuff. Without glutamic acid, you die. It is a matter of taste, but there's a lot more fat in sausage than you think.
Get ahead of the curve. Tune into Cooking Issues every Tuesday at 12 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. Today we are talking to Brady Lowe, who is the founder of a series of national food events called Cochon 555, where five chefs each get a whole pig and have to make six dishes, and it's paired with delights from five wineries. Brady, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
So what I really want to ask you is how you came to do this. I think it started with wine and cheese.
It did. I basically started off about 10, 12 years ago educating on wine and cheese pairings. Knew that there was all these makers out there, and there's all these winemakers and salespeople, but nobody was in the middle making the connections or handshakes on like how they went together. So I just committed myself to 5 years just to doing wine and cheese pairing. So that's my heart and soul. And people ask me to do dinners. I would go into people's homes. I would create these amazing wine and cheese experiences, and I would stay behind and finish the dinners and do a lot of food and wine pairing. And then when I got to be too busy with those, and I couldn't get dinners for over 15 people, then I would ask chefs that I knew. So I knew that started learning the chef community. And then eventually I started doing larger events, and I always had a bunch of crazy idea events. And Koshan was one of them that I would never have a private client ask me to be able to do for them. So can't really pitch a catering event with five chefs and five pigs. So we created the event, and I did it publicly for farmers that were going to Terra Madre. We raised some money for them, and it was a hit, and I took it on the road.
So how did the pig itself become your obsession, the heritage breeds? Like, when did that cross your path?
You know, in all honesty, it was like I had the idea for this event. I knew that there was some missing education table side. I used to work front of house in restaurants, so I knew there was just like this missing case. There's this front of education that no one knew what heritage breed pigs were. And I knew that, like, when I went to dinner, that if I ordered a Diamond Ranch pork chop, it was going to be good. Or if I ordered something, you know, Salmon Creek Farms, like, I knew what it was, but I didn't know why it was better. So I started doing my homework like I was on the cheese. Then I found all these quality and benefits of it and flavor benefits. And then next thing you know, I just started, you know, working on this event idea. And then I was sitting across the table from a friend, Julie Schaefer, who said, you got to call Patrick Martin. Here's his phone number. Call him right now. And next thing I knew, I was getting my first red waddle ordered.
Which, that's actually the founder of this radio station.
So that's when that was my first access, was to Patrick. We had to get some pigs bought in to, through Heritage Foods.
Where was the first event? Was it in the South or was it here in New York?
It was in Atlanta. And New York was number three. Atlanta was number one, Napa number two, and then New York number three. And, you know, the first event happened in Atlanta. And it's just kind of serendipitous that tonight I've got three quarters of that event doing a private event for a friend of mine here in Atlanta tonight. So we're doing like a push on this evening.
That sounds pretty amazing. They're doing three whole pigs?
We're doing one whole Cajachina pig. We're doing one pig on the butcher demo. I've got a 2x3 foot plancha that we're doing all the cuts off the butcher right off the plancha. So it's called Parts on the Plancha.
Uh-huh.
Each display, bourbon bar, mezcal bar, caviar from Black River Caviar, sustainable friend of ours. It's a full on mini croutons.
Do you miss cheese?
No, I have too much of it in my life.
Do you think you'll feel that way about pigs?
I have more cheese than I do pigs.
It is. So do you remember where your first...
You've been to the event.
Yes.
You've seen all the cheese we have at the event.
I'm too busy eating pig.
Cheese in every city.
Like a version for cheese would be kind of cool too. I'm not sure what it would be. But it, like the chance to... Well, so do you remember the first five farmers that you worked with? They were through Patrick?
Yeah. Well, Patrick did two pigs. Tommy Searcy from Gum Creek Farms did a pig. Charlotte Swansea with her husband Wes from Riverview Farms did a pig. And then we had another farm that's not anymore than her.
And you never think about actually trying to open up that sustainable barbecue joint yourself at this point?
Well, you never know.
You never know? That'd be kind of cool. You certainly have... how often do you actually cook them yourself at this point? Are you ever taking care of the... Are you ever doing the cooking yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I cook... like tonight, I'm doing all the stuff on the plancha. When I do the Heritage Fire events, I pick a project and do stuff. But I have never taken down a whole pig and done it like Koshan style. It's still, I need I need the ability and the time I want to.
Have you gone in and watched while the chefs were breaking them down?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've never carved up a whole pig, but I tell you by the amount of times that I've seen it done, by all the people I've seen it done,
yeah,
I know my way around it really well. I would say I could do a pretty good breakdown.
That was actually one thing I wanted to do when I was a judge, is I really wanted to actually see the pig delivered and then watch them take it all the way to each dish, but I never got the, because it takes them like a week, over a course of a week to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, we can't even find the time, and I mean, I never had the time either, but they do. I mean, that's what chefs do. They bring the animals in, they have the patients put it into the schedule and send out these dishes. I mean, it's, everything is so thought out at Kushan. It's amazing. We couldn't do it without chefs.
When you pick a chef, do they have to have worked with the whole animal before, or some, this is the first time they've ever done it?
They're basically the prerequisite for a chef is that, you know, I can look at their menu, I can read that they work with heritage breed pigs,
mm-hmm.
I can see that they promote family farms or farm names through the menu, because it's like advertising.
Right.
So they're doing some part with their menu to tell a story, responsible agriculture.
Right.
And then you can tell by looking at the menu if they're using whole animal, by looking at their breakfast menu or their lunch menu or their dinner menu.
Right.
And then you can also tell about, like, if they're known for being piggy chefs and, you know, how their menus look and, you know, and then it's about working with, you know, they have five chefs and picking the right one. So you have, someone doing kind of a Far East approach, someone doing a Southern approach, someone doing a Castro approach, someone doing an Italian, French, American, whatever it may be. But you try to balance the event up so you don't have four Italians doing the event.
Do people have to give you a sense of what they think they're going to do, or do they just show up with it the day of the event?
They, like the chefs?
Uh-huh. How far in advance do you know, have an idea of what they think they're going to do?
They know. The moment that they get asked, they start asking me questions and planning. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking months.
Yeah.
Months in advance, they start planning. Like, I know people who already planned their menu for L.A., but it won't take a month, you know?
So they kind of excitedly email you about with plans of what they think, their dreams of what they're going to do?
Oh, totally. They get really pumped up.
I know. Do you know who's done the most number of dishes?
I think Mark Forgione did a lot of dishes. Sean Brock did like 18 dishes one time, I think.
Wow. Do you collect any recipes from these things?
I've wanted to. It's just, it starts to be a big burden.
Right. But what about at least like picked photos of every single dish?
Yeah, we've definitely taken photos. You know, it's just like you're on the fork train,
right.
And then you eventually you're like, oh man, I should take pictures of everything, and then you go.
Because eventually you can sort. I mean, you've got 5 years at this point, like, and at least 10 for the past couple. I mean, eventually you could sort them, and you could have, you could have like 25 pictures of pigtails and like 25 different dishes with a pig's ear. I mean, which is kind of fantastic.
Yeah, we've gotten really, really lucky in, the amount of photography. I mean, I got to give my hat off to, Huge, who does all the photography for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just captures every, nook and cranny.
Does the American Lamb Board come after you to start one with lamb? What's the word for lamb in France? French.
No, they came after me and started their own.
Their own cochon? What would it be if it were lamb?
Well, they did lamb jam.
Oh, lamb jam. It just doesn't have the same elevated. Oh, so the reason you do wine as opposed to beer, which is, I guess, what you would assume would be, is because that was your background.
Yeah, because I love wineries. I love wine. I think there's a lot more. I'm not saying that, beer doesn't have approach the characteristics or the opportunity for wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're drinking beer, you can fall into a rut of like not really looking to see what the nuances of everything. And I think wine showcases heritage pork a lot better from a conversation standpoint. There's a lot more parallel between a cheesemaker, a winemaker, and a farmer. You know, rather than, because like a brewer is more of like a sourcer.
Right.
So he's more of like a chef conversation.
Uh-huh.
Quality of product, ingredients.
That's true. But I was actually, I can't remember, I guess, because I can't remember how it worked. Are the wineries, are they paired with a chef and a pig? Are they just all five of them there? Or do they work specifically with like one particular producer?
No, they're there as, you know, as part of the 555.
Uh-huh.
But if I tried to pair up a winemaker to a chef, I think it would be more disaster than reward.
But I guess they're each thinking
because,
pork.
Yeah, I don't want to put any creative handcuffs on the chef to like pair it with wine,
uh-huh.
You know? So I think it would be a hard thing. I think some chefs don't really like wine and some chefs love it, you know? Uh-huh. So you kind of put somebody down on a level, you got to do this because this is what we want. And it's more like, I just want you to work with the farmer, you know?
Right. It's also, having wine is also another way of changing the way people approach cooking, thinking about eating a whole pig. It changes the ball game. It elevates it.
Yeah, totally. It definitely raises the floor up, you know? And I think people need to, when they see heritage pork next door to a table that has $40 and $50 bottles of wine.
Yeah. Does that really not exist? There's not a barbecue restaurant that meets that criteria yet?
Is there not a what?
There's not a single barbecue joint that kind of fits this model yet?
There is not one that I know of 100%. You know, there's people who are using responsibly raised pork,
right,
or they're trying, but I mean, even if you try to just say like, is there any barbecue restaurants that just use heritage pork? The answer is no.
No. I remember when Fatty Q opened here in New York City. Did you ever get a chance to go there?
Yes. And they're probably one of the, if I were to say, they're one of the top top restaurants that are doing it.
Right. And they got a lot of flack. I remember when they opened, they got a lot of people were like, oh, I have to pay like X amount of money for ribs. And it was, and it's interesting because what you were saying is that if it was in any other context, they wouldn't have even blinked probably.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I got an email from a chef the other day and he just said like, you know what, Brady, he's like, just keep fighting the fight because and that's what Zach and those guys did over at Fatty. You like they had to find a conversation, and it's because it's consumer education is not met up to what we expect to be our demands and what we want to serve.
Right,
and that's the good fight that everyone's fighting right now, and that's what the tour has been doing for 5 years. It's just talking about why people need to pay a couple extra pennies for real pork.
And that's why so we have about a minute left, which is an awesome thing. Time to talk about Memphis, which is kind of a coup because that's the home of one of the biggest traditional barbecue competitions in the country.
Yep.
So do you know, is this will be the second year? What was it like last year? Who came? Was it like the same people who go to Memphis in May? Or was there any crossover?
You know, I had a really good showing. I mean, people loved the event. They had no idea what it was going to be. You know, but it was hard work. I mean, I picked the city to pick the biggest fight with, you
right.
know? So I wasn't going to come without prisoners. And, you know, you kind of see and where you got to go and what you got to get things done. And you stick with good people and work with good people. And, you know, hopefully the people who are doing it and they care about it are going to be the ones to benefit.
Are there any Tennessee wineries?
What's that?
Did you work with any Tennessee wineries? Did they make the cut?
No, wineries is the one thing that's hard to do local.
Yeah, in the South. I'm from North Carolina. It's slowly growing.
Yeah, it's slowly.
One day, that'll be the jam. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for talking with me through my cell phone. This has been fantastic. And I look forward to seeing you at Koshon 555 in a city soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Have a good day.
Eat eggs. A seed
objective review. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.